Ron Jaworski, former, a longtime Eagles quarterback and NFL analyst for ESPN. Good morning, Jaws.
Gentlemen, great to be with you with a fantastic championship weekend ahead.
Now, you were their honorary coin toss guy. Do you feel like you had a hand in the Eagles' victory?
I was the honorary captain. It was nice to be with the guys during the coin toss, but I had nothing to do with it. The Eagles found a way to win a game by playing very good football. But thank you.
Now, they win with Foles. We know that. Now, when does a team start having respect for the next guy that comes in? Let's face it, when Carson Wentz went down, come on, the Eagles players had to say, we are in trouble.
I think there's a general consensus out there that you always feel that way when your starter goes down. But you have to look at the history of Nick Foles. Now, hey, we all know Carson Wentz was having an exceptional season. He would have been the league MVP if he didn't get hurt week 13. So he was playing great. But the people here in Philadelphia, I know many of the guys on this team go back a few years when Nick Foles was the Eagles' starting quarterback, when he threw 27 touchdown passes and only two interceptions, and went to the Pro Bowl and was a Pro Bowl offensive player of the game. So he does have that skill set. Now, it does take a little time. To me, as I've studied Nick throughout his career going back to college, he's a rep thrower. By that I mean he has to throw a lot. And when you're the backup quarterback, you don't get many reps. So it just took him a little bit of time to get into the flow of this offense. And kind of a side note, the one thing Doug Peterson, who I'm very close with, has preached since he came to Philadelphia as the head coach, was that it's the consummate team game. No matter who the quarterback is, who the running back is, no matter who goes down, who gets hurt, and the Eagles have sustained numerous season-ending injuries, and they've rebounded. So the team concept in Philadelphia has really worked.
Something about the home teams last weekend, too, Ron, in that I think there's certain bases where if you can withstand the early punches if you're the road team, and especially a team coming off a bye, makes for nervous times for fans. Minnesota obviously had that when Drew Brees started dropping dimes. Pittsburgh started flat as a pancake. And I'd say in Philly, right, there's been a lot of home playoff losses in the last 15 years or so. You're almost anticipating the worst. How did that crowd and how did that fan base galvanize itself and just brace themselves, especially that last drive?
Yeah, the fan base clearly was all lathered up for that football game. You know, the Falcons are a very, very good football team. One of the preeminent quarterbacks in the game in Matt Ryan. And with the game on the line, fourth down, you know, the Eagles made a play. And that's what playoff football's about. These are very evenly balanced teams, the four teams left. And, you know, they're going to come down to the wire. And the teams that have the experience and the ability to finish and make a play at the end usually advance. And, you know, the Eagles and the Vikings, they both hang their hat on defense. I mean, this is going to be one of those, you know, 13-10, 14-13 games. This is not going to be explosive. It's just two teams that are going to hammer each other for 60 minutes. Whoever has the ball at the end with a chance to make a play could win it, or the defense could make a play and win it for their team.
The Jaguars are there. The Steelers are not. Much has been made about the bravado of the Pittsburgh Steelers, about their mouths that never stop running. Does this actually have an effect on a football game? Does it juice the other team up? Does it hurt your team? Does it matter?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the only thing that matters is what the players believe, not what us in the media or the fans that are at the game. It's irrelevant. It's the guys playing the game on the field. And I'll give you kind of a real-life example. I was on the Steelers watch when they beat Seattle in the Super Bowl, and Bill Cowher is an old teammate of mine and a very good friend and kind of gave me some real access to his football team. And they had to go on the road to Cincinnati, Indianapolis, and Denver before they went to the Super Bowl. They were the underdog, and coaches love playing that respect card. They don't respect us. We're the visiting team. And he developed that bunker mentality. And they believed that they could do it, and they did. And I think that's what's really important about coaching. We talk about X's and O's, but you've got to get the players to believe you can win. And I know here in Philadelphia, you know, when Carson Wentz went down and guys were going down, it really didn't matter. They were the underdog last week at home as the number one seed. The players bought in, and they made it happen.
Ron Jaworski, the excellent analyst, our guest, 8:39 on Brady and Price. You won an NFC title game against Dallas. You guys beat the Cowboys 27 at the Vet. It is, to me, it's the worst game to lose. It has to be the worst feeling because every player wants to, yeah, you want to say you're a Super Bowl champ, but you want to have at least played there. That's why no one should ever diminish what the Buffalo Bills, you'd rather be a Buffalo Bills fan or player than a Detroit Lions player or a Cleveland Browns player and never have gotten there. What is that moment like, knowing the anticipation that at least we're going, no matter what transpires, we did it and we are in this amazing game that millions of people watch worldwide?
I agree with you on that. In fact, I've heard contradictory approaches to it. Some guys say, I'd rather not get to the Super Bowl if I knew I was going to lose. I totally disagree with that. You know, winning the NFC Championship game here in Philadelphia against our arch rival, the Dallas Cowboys, it meant a lot to us. It was huge for this city. Now, we eventually went and lost to the Oakland Raiders in the Super Bowl, but getting there was a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. And I always look back at it this way, too. I tell people this. That I wasn't only great for the Eagles and our city, but I really felt like for myself and my family, it was really a cool thing because all of a sudden, you know, my mom became important. You know, my brother, my sister, my wife, my kids, everyone wants to talk to them. So it kind of really sprinkled in the glamour of football amongst my family. So in that regard, I was very, very happy not to lose, but to get to the Super Bowl.
Remember how many tickets they gave you for the Super Bowl?
Here's the best part. I still have ticket stubs from Super Bowl 15. The face value was $40. 40. I just paid. Now, get this. Now, guys, we all pay for our Super Bowl tickets. You get no free, even as a former player, former league MVP, and all those things. We pay for our tickets. $3,500 a ticket.
That's reasonable. That's very reasonable.
I'm saying that again. $3,500 a ticket, so your listening audience understands how big this game has become.
Is there a possibility the Pats, I mean, this could be 3-4 seasons, just like it was, you know, around 2001 through 2004. And it's almost like this time around, Ron, may not be that quintessential moment because I hate looking at the other quarterbacks, but they could beat Marcus Mariota, Blake Bortles, and either Foles or Keenum. That's not Peyton. That's not Russell Wilson. That's not Big Ben. That's not Matt Ryan, right?
Well, certainly the luster from the Super Bowl, you know, will be gone from a quarterback perspective. You're either going to get Foles or Case Keenum, and they're not really the preeminent kind of guys in the NFL. You're not talking about the glamour names. You're talking about Blake Bortles of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And there you go, Tom Brady. In a league driven by quarterback play, there is one team that has the greatest of all time, that being Tom Brady. I would make them a very, very highly likely Super Bowl champion.
I don't want to hear that.
My Eagles are there.
I want to hear how one of these teams beats the Patriots. How does that happen?
Well, you know, we've said it for years, and I've covered Tom for years, and I think I've probably looked at about 90% of his games on the coaching tape. And you could say all you want, but I think there's really one way, in my opinion, that you can affect Tom Brady, and you must pressure Tom up the middle. And the teams historically that have had success against Brady have gotten his face, got him up the middle, and got him off spot. Now, that's easy to say, very difficult to do. So the team that is going to face the Jaguars do a good job of that. They have good pressure up the middle. You know, with Darius and Calais Campbell, they can get some pressure up the middle. But I don't think they can score enough points offensively, Jacksonville, to beat the Patriots. But when you get the Super Bowl, Philadelphia or Minnesota, they also have some good pressure up the middle. So maybe that can negate some of Tom Brady's tremendous ability throwing the ball over the middle of the field.